Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Our stories from this past week of Archaeologica are about new radiocarbon dates pushing back the founding date for Mohenjo-Daro, a new study showing that the earliest known dice are from the late Pleistocene of North America, a Roman mosaic depicting a female involved in mortal combat with an animal, and a DNA analysis of the Shroud of Turin suggesting it has an Indian origin. We'll get to those in a few seconds. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in October 2026 with our tour of key sites in Turkey, including Göbekli Tepe and other sites at the root of human civilization. Registration is still open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of March 29th through April 4th, 2026. Our first story takes us to Pakistan, where groundbreaking excavations at the Indus River site of Mohenjo-Daro have revealed that urban development began much earlier than previously believed. As reported by ArchaeoNews and Dawn.com, new radiocarbon dating from the 2025 and 2026 field seasons shows that the city was already flourishing during the early Harappan phase. This era, also known as the Côte de Gie period, occurred roughly between 3300 and 2600 BC. Previously, archaeologists believed that the city reached its peak through a rapid rise around 2600 BC, during what is known as the Mature Period. However, these new studies confirm that civic development was a much more gradual process, with the city's outer wall being rebuilt numerous times over several centuries. A joint team of Pakistani and international experts, led by Dr. Asma Ibrahim, Ali Lashari, and Dr. Jonathan Mark Knoyer, focused their efforts on an area west of the well-known Stupa Mound. They reevaluated a large mud brick fortification originally unearthed in 1950 by British archaeologist Sir Mortimer Wheeler. The team's analysis of five new samples shows that this structure wasn't just for defense or water management, it served as a primary city wall. While artifacts like pottery from the lowest levels suggest the wall itself was first built between 2700 and 2600 BC, soil coring below the foundations discovered pottery in the older Côte de Gie style. This indicates that a settled community thrived here long before the massive walls were ever constructed, echoing similar findings at the site of Harappa. Although this latest excavation focused on the early phases of development in Mohenjo-Daro, archaeologists continue to find artifacts from later periods, especially in areas near the stupa. For example, in 2023, a team unearthed hundreds of coins from the Kushan era, which dates from the 2nd and 5th centuries AD. The coins, which were fused together by heat and pressure, show the cultural significance of the site even after the decline of the Indus civilization. Previous excavations as far back as the 1920s and 1930s yielded thousands of coins and other artifacts, which are now part of museum collections across South Asia and other regions. Mohenjo-Daro remains a marvel of ancient engineering, famous for its grid-based streets, standardized baked bricks, and advanced drainage. Significant structures like the Great Bath further demonstrate the site's high level of social and ritual organization. While the Indus script found on various seals remains one of history's great unsolved mysteries, these new scientific dates provide a much clearer timeline of the city's evolution. As future excavations continue, we can expect even more revelations about how this society rivaled the earliest urban centers of Egypt and Mesopotamia. Next, we turn to the American West, where a new study suggests that Native Americans were pioneers in the study of probability. Research conducted across sites in Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico tracks the use of dice back 12,000 years, potentially placing these games of chance in North America earlier than those in the Old World. As reported by Phys.org, the study indicates that indigenous groups were intentionally crafting objects to produce random outcomes as early as the late Pleistocene Fulsum period. The lead researcher, Colorado State University PhD student Robert J. Madden, explains that these ancient dice were typically binary lots, two-sided, flat objects made of bone in oval or square shapes. One side featured distinct markings to serve as the counting face. When thrown, the dice functioned much like a modern coin flip, landing on one side or the other to determine the game's progress. To verify these objects, Madden developed a rigorous checklist of physical attributes to identify items already in museum collections. He began by reviewing 293 sets of Native American dice documented in Stuart Cullen's landmark 1907 study, Games of the North American Indians. By applying this standardized approach to the wider archaeological record, Madden's team identified over 600 plausible dice across various sites, spanning from the Ice Age through the era of European contact. This discovery is significant because it shifts our understanding of the history of human mathematics. Historians view early dice games as humanity's first steps toward understanding randomness, which is the foundation of probability theory, statistics, and modern scientific inquiry. Previously, it was often assumed that such structured games and abstract thought processes originated primarily in Old World cultures. By proving that New World societies were exploring these concepts millennia ago, the study published in the journal American Antiquity challenges long-held assumptions about indigenous intellectual history. Madden emphasizes that the evidence was always there. What was missing was a continent-wide standard to recognize these bone fragments for what they truly were, tools for gaming and mathematical exploration. In our third story, a fresh look at a lost Roman mosaic is challenging traditional views of women's roles in the ancient arena. As reported by Taylor and Francis Online, sports historian Alfonso Manas of the University of California has identified what he believes is the first clear visual evidence of a female beast fighter, or venatrix, from the Roman era. The evidence comes from a 3rd century mosaic found in Reims, France, which was unfortunately destroyed during World War I. Fortunately, the mosaic was documented in an 1862 drawing by an archaeologist, Jean-Charles Loriquet. The artwork depicts a grand hunting scene featuring 20 beast fighters and 15 animals. One specific section shows a figure with exposed breasts holding a whip, facing off against a leaping leopard. While previous scholars labeled this woman as an agitator, someone who merely provoked animals to attack, similar to a modern rodeo clown, Manas argues for a more formidable role. He points to the specific weapons she carries, which likely include the hilt of a second weapon alongside her whip. This equipment suggests she was a trained venatrix, engaged in actual combat. Roman arena games generally fell into two categories, gladiatura, which was a human versus human combat, and venatio, which were simulated hunts, pitting humans against wild animals. While historical records show that female gladiators were officially banned around AD 200, Manas's study suggests that female beast hunters continued to perform long after that prohibition. Because venatio has traditionally received less academic and media attention than gladiatorial combat, these roles have been largely overlooked in historical research. This discovery not only provides a rare image of a female fighter in action, but also helps dismantle narrow stereotypes regarding the participation of women in the most dangerous spectacles of Roman society. Our final story takes us to Turin, Italy, where controversial new DNA analysis suggests that the Shroud of Turin may have a surprising connection to ancient India. As reported in The Independent, a research team, including Gianni Barcaccia at the University of Padova, recently analyzed DNA samples collected from the linen fabric nearly 50 years ago. The team's analysis revealed that roughly 40% of the human DNA found on the shroud belongs to lineages traced to the Indian subcontinent. The researchers proposed two main possibilities for this genetic footprint. Either the fabric was handled by many people of Indian descent over the centuries, or the Romans originally imported the linen yarn from ancient India. Also, the report of this story by the Vatican News points out that the garments of the high priest at the Temple of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago were made of fine Indian linen. However, the findings come with significant caveats. The fabric is a magnet for environmental noise. Researchers identified DNA from various plants and animals, including wheat, tomatoes, and both domestic and wild animals. They also found common skin bacteria, like Staphylococcus, which is expected given that the relic has been touched by countless visitors since it first appeared in France in 1354. Because of this high level of contamination, the team admits that it's difficult to pinpoint the India-based DNA as original to the shroud's creation rather than a later addition. The Shroud of Turin, a 4-meter-long linen cloth bearing the faint image of a man, is revered by Christians as the burial shroud of Jesus. It currently sits in the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin, Italy. While scientific dating in the 1980s suggested a medieval origin, the debate over its authenticity continues to fascinate both the religious and scientific communities. This latest study, published in the preprint server BioArchive, and awaiting formal peer review, adds a new layer of complexity to the relic's long and mysterious history. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.